0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Liam Scales says everyone at Celtic wants an Adam Ida return. Todd Cantwell's linked with a move to Saudi Arabia and Don Cowie is officially appointed the Ross County manager. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight is Simon Donnelly.
Good evening, Andrew. Now, you've just told me there that the League Cup starts next Saturday, so we're well into pre-season. Always very quick coming back round the next season. I know we're caught up in the Euros at the moment, still the quarterfinals of the Euros to go, but yeah, the domestic campaign is just round the corner now.
Yeah, a week on Saturday, was it the 13th of July or the first games? I actually hadn't realised it's that soon. I know the
neither did I.
Is it just under 5 weeks until the league season starts? But not long for the teams to get their preparations in, the teams that aren't in European football.
No. But I think this, I've spoken on the show before, I think it's a good thing. You know, yeah, it's pre-season, but these are meaningful games for them, important games for the clubs. But yeah, they come round quickly, so they'll need to be ready.
This is when the real scramble starts as well, because you've been involved with clubs that have, you know, been in the group stages, I think, have you, of the League Cup? And at this point in the season...
At this point in the season
as well. I think there'll be some teams that will be slightly concerned about how many players they've got available in their squad. They're going to need to bolster those over the next few weeks.
It's not easy. I think the transfer window in general obviously been quite quiet up until now. I think maybe that's to do with the Euros, certainly for the bigger clubs. But they have to be ready, because you can see that if some of the so-called bigger teams slip up, you know, you're really under pressure straight away.
Yeah, a good few teams in friendly action this week as well. I think here United are playing Celtic tomorrow night as well.
Yes, that's my first...
Brown Derby, is that called now?
Yeah, I think it'll be a good game. I think they're opening a new stand down there. I'm doing it for Celtic TV, so I'm looking forward to it. I think a few of the players will still be away out, just recuperating after the Euros, so it won't be a fully... strength squad, but it'll be interesting to see what Celtic perform like.
Well, we want to hear from you. 0141 951 1025, whatever is on your mind, whether it is pre-season friendlies, whether it's transfers, that seems to be the hot topic, of course, at this time of year. Maybe you still want to reflect on the Euros, maybe you're keen to look forward to the domestic football. Let's hear from you. 0141 951 1025. Some interesting stories coming out today. The Adam Ida one seems to be rumbling on, certainly. We heard yesterday that a bid had been rejected from Norwich. I think £4 million plus add-ons Celtic had offered for the striker to try and get him back to Celtic Park. Norwich had said no, but it looks as if the two sides are locked in talks. Some reports today that Adam Ida, very keen on the return, wants to come back to Scotland, wants to come back to Celtic. Liam Scales has been speaking today. We heard from him. He's obviously a fellow countryman of Adam Ida. Yeah. He says everyone at the club is keen for Adam Ida. Is that one you expect to get done in the next few days?
I would like to think so. obviously, it's the ball's in Norwich's court, so to speak, because he's their player. And they've seen how well he did up here for Celtic. What I'll say is, you know, that the guy came up here and had a fantastic four or five months, scored some really important goals, none more so than the winner in the Scottish Cup. But I thought he's all-round play. And as you say, their skills, as mentioned, a popular guy in the dressing room as well. I think that'd be a really good signing to start off the transfer window for Celtic.
Well, let's hear from you, Celtic fans. 0141 951 1025. Do you want to see Adam Ida return? And if so, what sort of price should Celtic be looking at after that bid was knocked back yesterday? Rangers fans, I'm interested in your thoughts in Todd Cantwell. There's certainly a lot of opinions that have been thrown about Todd Cantwell since he came up to Scotland. He's been linked today with a move to Saudi Arabia. I wonder if Rangers fans out there want to keep a hold of him, or is he a player that maybe needs to be part of this clear out that seems to be happening at Rangers at the moment? Lots of talk about whether James Tavernier might be going, Connor Goldson as well. So I want to hear your thoughts on Rangers transfer business, and fans of any other team, I want to hear from you as well. What are you making of the pre-season preparations, whether it's pre-season friendlies, whether it's the pre-season camps that your teams are away on? Maybe you're already looking forward to those Premier Sports Cup group games that are not too far away. Give us a call, 0141 951 1025, or you can send us a tweet at ClydeSSB. But while you get your calls in, let's hear from Liam Scales, shall we? Speaking today, he says everyone wants Adam Ida to return to the club on a permanent basis.
Yeah, we'd love to have him back. He's a great lad. You know, he's obviously a brilliant player, but to have him in the change room as well is He's brilliant. He's a good guy. He's funny. You know, everyone got on well with him, and we'd all love to see him back. He was massive for us. He scored massive goals and put in massive performances, and yeah, like, we'd all love him back. But it's obviously out of our control. So hopefully it happens. He's obviously very different to Kyogo. Like, Kyogo's brilliant, amazing player, but Adam's got more physicality. Kyogo is better playing off people's shoulders, and he scored obviously loads of goals doing that. But Adam gives you that sort of option where you can hit his feet and he's going to hold off the big Scottish defenders, you know, that he's playing against. It's a great outlet for players like me, for centre-halves or centre midfielders, that they can play into him, and then we can get our creative players playing off him as well. That's probably a strength that, apart from the goals he scored, like that he brings.
Is that a big point, the one that Liam Scales makes there, about how different Adam Ida is to Kyogo? Is that something that managers really look for if they've got a striker like Kyogo that's shown his quality over the years, but Adam Ida just offers something different?
100%, 100%, especially when you're going to go and defend the title, you're looking to win three on the domestic front, you're getting into a new Champions League competition, new format, they're going to need players of different styles. And, you know, just even as recent as the game down at Rugby Park, where Brendan Rodgers opted to go with Adam Ida to start the game, and I thought he repaid his manager brilliantly that night. It was one of his best performances, I thought, for Celtic. Just something different, as Scales says there, likes to come and maybe build up the play. He's got a wee bit more physical presence to him than Kyogo. Kyogo likes to go in behind and is fantastic at it. So I think it's great, you know, if we can get this guy back to the club, it gives options for Brendan Rodgers moving forward in the front line.
Because Celtic could look at other strikers and could look down different avenues, but is that just more of a risk, given the fact that they've seen Ida up close? Brendan Rodgers knows exactly what he's capable of.
See, the other thing, Andrew, it's about people coming and be able to handle the jersey. They talk about handling the jersey, Celtic and Rangers or clubs of that ilk, and he's showed that he could do that. You know, he's came midway through a title race, which at the time I think Celtic were possibly still behind Rangers. Pressurised games right through from the start at Easter Road, where he scored. I'm thinking off the top of my head, Fir Park, where Celtic really looked down and out in that game, and he's popped in with another couple of fantastic, important goals. He shows he can handle it, the cup final. I think it is sometimes better the devil you know, because he's been at the club 4 or 5 months there and showed that he can, more than a valuable addition to the club. I think they might even look for another striker as well, depending on if
it looks as if O is maybe on his way to Belgium.
It's just going to be that many games coming thick and fast, injuries, different styles, different options for the manager. So I certainly think if they can get him in the door just now, that's a great start to the pre-season.
01419511025 is the number you need. That's the number Stevie, who's a Celtic fan in Craig End, has dialed. Stevie, how are you?
How are we doing, guys? Alright.
All good, all good. Just first of all, Adam Ida, I was going to say it's dragging on. It's not really, it's not been going on for too long, but Celtic have had that bid rejected. It looks as if a deal could be wrapped up possibly in the next few days. Is that something you're excited about?
Not really, mate. But, you know, it's, again, the amount of times we've had players up in loan and they impress, that means they do really, really well. And then we give them a 3-year deal and they can hit a bomb door there, which was really good. But as I say, it's something that he scored his thing, you say, I mean, he scored some title goals last season. If he wanted to come, he would be there. You know what I mean? So I know they're saying that they made a bad and it's been rejected. But you sort of say, look, no, why does Rodgers not test the water with somebody like Jamie Vardy for a year? You know I mean, something different. You know I mean, or it can be a proven goal scorer. We play all right in Europe for us. You know what I mean? So I'm not saying either with these guys, I'm not saying that for a minute, but I'm just starting to say, if he really wanted to be there, you know what I mean, and then obviously the regular football at Celtic, then he would be, I'll go for a lot of people who enjoyed my time up there. You know what I mean? That's just my opinion. I just think, obviously, you know what I mean, if players want to play for you, they'll be there.
The signs do look as if Adam Ida is keen on the move. The problem is that he's contracted to another club. Norwich will want good value for money for a player that they've seen go out on loan and score, 9 goals in 19 games. But it's just a case of sort of Celtic meeting that asking price. Stevie, do you see that?
I know, but again, it's to be sitting, you know, apparently we've got all this money and let me know, but you take yourself, you're in the Champions League, right? So you know that you're going to come up against some tough opposition. So if you got a plan A, you got a plan B, you got a plan C, if you got a plan D on the bench, obviously, it's Danny said there, but we know that it's like, so if Kyogo's not working, then we go for the big Burnley bruiser, like we did with Sutton, Hartson. I mean, Larson was a skilled player behind these two, and they were the brawn. So they were, I mean, it's trying to mix it up, guys, too many times.
Is Adam Ida not mixing it up, though? Is he not quite a different striker from Kyogo? Yeah, did he not show that he offers something quite different?
That's what I was trying to say there, Stevie. He's a different striker to Kyogo, so that's where I would think that would be a positive.
I mean, I'm saying, obviously, they'd rather have their options than their options on the bench. But, I mean, I liked Ove. So I'm a Spurs fan, and I thought Ove should go to Spurs because him and, you know, Son, not me, you know, our best mate.
Yeah.
And he's the suited in that, in the way that Ange was doing there. So it's not mean, but you see, you've got Maeda there, and then also James DeForest, that we know, again, putting boys in. And as Simon rightly says, you want somebody in the middle there to stick his head where it shouldn't be to try and, you know, get the ball out of the line. I'm just saying, though, that so many things with his players on loan, and they're absolutely outstanding. So they're like, oh, buy him, you know, with a 4-year deal. So what happened to him?
But then Celtic have also had players that have come on loan and done very well and then continue to do very well, and, you know, the likes of Cameron Carter-Vickers, the likes of Jota.
Well, the CCB, not me known, came to anywhere, though. Obviously, again, I'm a Spurs fan, and I watched him at Tottenham, and he was playing with the Carling Cup, the Carabao Cup, and stuff like that. I mean, so I was pleased to see him at Celtic getting a decent run, boy, because he's a cracking defender. So he has, like, he couldn't shift or Tongan, I mean, or Alderweireld. He couldn't get in the team for those two. Maybe could. So he made the decision to come to Celtic, and again, not me know, he's been outstanding. But again, who's to say that somebody who's going to throw 45 million to Celtic? That means the team's like, you know, sent to me by Bill Cameron, I mean, and he would go.
I'm interested in your Jamie Vardy suggestion. I think he's maybe signed a new deal at Leicester, so I don't think that one's going to happen. But would you rather Celtic went down that experienced route of maybe an older striker who has a proven record over a longer period of time?
Honestly, when Brendan came in, guys, I'd been waxing lyrical. I would love him there. Obviously, we're saying about Schmeichel coming in. I would take Craig Gordon. You know what I mean? So no, he's tried and tested. He's getting back at Celtic. He played in the high, he played in the big games. You know what he can do. Game of 3, you'll be really happy. But Jamie Vardy at the other end will score your goals, boys. I mean, he just thinks he's an English version of Paddy. So you never know what he's going to do. Maybe, you know what I mean? So you take yourself if we're playing in a tough group, you know, if we get a tough draw in the Champions League, that you would sit and say, well, if you put him on, not in the second half, he'll get you a goal. He'll score goals.
I just think, excuse me, sometimes with somebody like that, might be salary as well. You know, he's been Leicester and...
He's made his money time.
I know, but...
Getting to play in the Champions League, again, he's not played in the Champions League since he played
the life. Yeah. I just think it would cost to get somebody like that.
Well, thank you to Stevie. Let's speak to Sean, who's a Celtic fan in Coatbridge. What are you thinking tonight, Sean?
Hi, how are you doing? Obviously, that guy is close. He's addressed on the radio. Taking Jamie Vardy over Adam Ida. Vardy's finished. Adam Ida will be a great signing for Celtic. There's no way in the world he's not going to do well when he comes to us. He's proved it already. And anybody turned around saying they want to take Jamie Vardy over him, and then Craig Gordon is a goalkeeper, that was just going to keep going backwards.
Yeah, I mean, I did wonder about that. I should have asked Stevie about that. I don't know whether he meant as a...
Listen, age is just a number, as they say. But yeah, I would prefer Celtic to look forward in their transfers. And I think Adam Ida, going back to Stevie saying about players coming in loan and then going off the boil when they come back, I think the guy was here long enough. He played in important games in that title race, really made a name for himself, showed it was more than just brawn. Up there, yeah, he's got a physical presence, but he can link the ball. I go back to the Rugby Park game, I thought he was really good in that, and he's got a knack for getting a goal in important games, important goals for Celtic. Lesser players might not be able to handle that pressure, so I still think it's a good one. I think it'd be a good start to the pre-season to get Adam Ida in the door.
We saw Celtic go down the experienced route with Joe Hart before, but I'm trying to rack my brain to think when the last time Celtic went down that route with a striker. It's been a good few years, hasn't it? Celtic's model, certainly for outfield players, seems to be in that bracket of, you know, whether it's younger players or ones in their sort of early to mid-20s, guys that they can make a profit on and improve. I'm not writing off,
as you said there, Joe Hart was a fantastic signing for Celtic. He really was, coming in there and using all his experience. And I think being a bit of a leader in the dressing room as well. You look to how the players reacted to him at the end of the season there when he was saying his cheerios. They all respected him highly. So I think he was a big character in there. That's a big character to replace. But I just think sometimes, you know, Craig Gordon's had his time at Celtic. I just think they have to look in different places.
Sean, what else are you hoping Brendan Rodgers is going to do over the next few weeks?
Bring another Sunday that can give Carl McGregor a break throughout the season, because let's face it, he's never going to be dropped out of the team, because the minute he goes out of the team we seem to lack something, and bringing another centre-half in, I mean, a lot of people still have bits about scales, but he's never got a foot wrong when he's asked.
Yeah, just on Carl McGregor, that is an area that I think Celtic have really tried for years and years to get someone that can be that reliable backup for Carl McGregor. And you look at guys like Ismail Asoro, Oliver Abeldgaard was brought in at one point. You've got Tomoki Iwata there at the moment as well. But there just doesn't really seem to be anyone that's been able to go in. And Tomoki Iwata's still under contract at the club. Yeah. He's played a good few games for Celtic. But they've not really had that player that's gone in and been able to provide that quality when Callum McGregor's missing, which is hard to do because he's obviously very good footballer.
Yeah, it's hard to replace that quality with like for like. I think Iwata did well towards the second half of the season there, playing in that deeper role when Callum was out. But, you know, when Callum's fit, he usually plays. I just think that the amount of games he plays, you know, for such a long time there, he'd hardly missed a game. And then picking up little injuries last year, maybe it's just a culmination of all that game time. So yeah, I think the middle of the park will need to be addressed anyway, because I think Matt O'Reilly, it might look as if he's moving on. A hell of a lot of goals and assists from Matt, so I think there's going to be fresh faces in there as well. But it's a good point that he makes there, because they can't just rely on Callum McGregor game after game. You know, he's not getting any younger either, Callum, you know. So I certainly think Iwata was a decent substitution in there at a time when the team needed him.
How do you rate Celtic's chances of holding on to Matt O'Reilly, Sean?
Well, my daughter is my daughter's favourite player, but as you know, with Celtic, we've got a model, and if somebody can, the money was 1.75, we paid for him.
Yeah.
So if a club comes in offering £25-30 million, we can't really be knocking it back. Well, Celtic aren't like a monster in the Premier League with a Man United, a Chelsea, and that they can knock that kind of money back. They need the money, and if he goes, then he goes with the best wishes of the club, because he's done great since he's been here. But there's nobody bigger than the club.
Is that the way Celtic need to treat it, that if Matt O'Reilly stays, then it's brilliant for Brendan Rodgers, because he has a great player at his disposal?
Yeah.
But they need to have those contingency plans in place now, in case they end up getting that bid that they can't refuse.
Yeah, listen, there was speculation at the turn of the year, and there's more talk as well. Matt's came in and had a brilliant time at Celtic and really caught the eye. He was unlucky, I think, not to make the Euros with Denmark. I think he was close to that. I just look at his... You talk about numbers nowadays and goals and assists. He's improving every season, and it'll be hard to hold on to him. That's the next task after that. How do you replace that amount of goals in your team from the middle of the park?
Well, thank you to Sean. Celtic fans, maybe you've got something to add to that. Give us a call, 01419511025. And Rangers fans, I'm interested in your thoughts on Todd Cantwell, because he's been linked with a move away, linked with a move to Saudi Arabia this summer. There's been a bit of speculation, I think we'll get into that as well, about agent talk and agents DMing the wrong people on Instagram as well. But I just wonder, based on what you've seen from Todd Cantwell in the 18 months he's been at Ibrox, would you rather see him stay? Would you rather see him go? Give us a call, 01419511025.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly here with me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with UK Debt Expert. They've been on the go since 2007, helping with struggling debt that you can't control. If you need help, talk to UK Debt Expert, part of the Credit Fix Group. There is a solution for you. Check out ukdebtexpert.co.uk. We want to hear from you on the phones, 01419511025. Rangers fans, I'm interested in your thoughts on this because Todd Cantwell has been linked with a move away from the club. It's Saudi side Al-Qadsiyah that are interested, apparently. That is the side that James Bisgrove just moved to as well, as the new chief exec, potentially some sort of role he's got over there. But reported interest from them and Todd Cantwell. Just interested to know what you Rangers fans think of that, whether you want him to stay, whether you want him to go. 0141 951 1025, because he's a player that has shown in flashes that he can impact games, but maybe just hasn't shown it as much as some supporters would like.
Yeah, I would say too few flashes, to be honest. And I think you only have to look to his manager, who's left, I think, the second last Celtic game he didn't feature.
He was quite pointed after the game. He was asked about it in the post-match press conference and essentially just said, I didn't feel it was the game for him.
Yeah, so he doesn't regard them as, you know, the go-to guy in these big games, so to speak. And I think it is because his flashes are too few and far between at the moment. There's a potential there, but you have to do it on a more regular basis. It's just interesting that it looks as if it's maybe his agent that's more...
Yeah, that was a story I saw yesterday. I don't know whether it is his agent or someone that has been working on behalf of someone else, but it's actually former Liverpool defender Jose Enrique.
Aye, I've seen that.
So quite a high-profile figure who is now a football agent. It looked as if he was on Instagram DMs trying to offer a Lecce coach to players, one of them being Todd Cantwell. It was Lecce coach Luca Gotti that he was trying to get in touch with. I think sent the message to an Instagram page called Luca Gotti Reacts, which was just a fan page, essentially. The people that ran it screenshotted it, put it out there. It was there for sort of public consumption. Not exactly the type of thing
it's
out there. The thing
it's
is
not
he,
ideal.
He may
it's
well have
ideal.
Been doing it without the knowledge of Todd Cantwell and whoever was representing him. It's certainly a gaffe on the part of Jose Enrique.
It is a wee bit, and if he has got anything to do with Todd Cantwell, then it just puts pressure on the boy as well. You know, that's the last thing it needs to get out. But I think just in football terms, I think he needs to bring a wee bit more to it. It'd be interesting to get the Rangers fans' view on it. But I go back to, as I say, his manager at times where big games, you know, I remember taking him off quite quickly in a game. Was it a European game?
Yeah, it was before half time.
No hesitation to take him off. So just there's wee bits there with him that I think he just needs to be more consistent.
01419511025. Tony is a Rangers fan in Newton Mearns. Tony, what are your feelings towards Todd Cantwell?
Todd Cantwell, to be honest, should never go. He's been one of the best players in Rangers since Rangers. I said the same, obviously, about... what's his name again? Bob Barisic when he came. He was one of the best players as well. Now, I was agreeing with everyone that Bournemouth should have went, but Todd Cantwell cannot at the moment.
Has he done it consistently enough for you, Tony?
Yes, 100%.
So do you feel he can be a big player going forward? Do you see him being a regular starter under Clement going forward?
Yeah, he'll be in that first team every week. There's no reason for him not to be.
There has been seemingly a wee bit of a rift between the two. It certainly looked friction at times earlier on in the season, you know, subbed off early, didn't play him in that game against Celtic and said that it wasn't the game for him. Do you think the manager still has the confidence in him to be a big player?
Yeah. He's shown what he can do in a Rangers jersey, and there's no one can take it off him. He will provide upsets against other teams.
Tony seems pretty confident on what Todd Cantwell can do going forward.
Listen, it's all about opinion. I just think when I've watched Rangers, I think there could be more that he could bring to his game. I just think it's few and far between. You said flashes, I would kind of go along with that, but Tony seems to be happy with him. As I say, I just go back to his manager at different times. I think for a type of player that he is, creative, I thought Kent was a wee bit like that towards the end as well. Just let's go back, compare to the other side with the numbers of a Matt O'Reilly, who is probably Cantwell would probably look on as maybe a more attacking player. I don't think he can compare figures wise. I think he needs to bring more to it for Rangers. I think that's possibly why he's found himself on the bench at different times.
So Tony, you'd be quite happy if Todd Cantwell put in another season like the one he just did, yeah?
Yeah, all day long. I would take him over Matt O'Riley any day.
Take Todd Cantwell over Matt O'Riley. I think that might get a few Celtic fans phoning in, but that's Tony's opinion, yeah. Certainly. Tony, what else does Philip Clement need to do in this window? There are a few younger players that have been brought in so far. He's talked now about bringing in experience. Where does that experience need to come?
I was quite upset, obviously, when he brought in Liam Kelly. He's been at the club and it was time for him to move on, and I don't think he should have come back. I think they should have brought in another experienced goalie like the one that's at Man U. I can't remember his name. Is it Tom Heaton or something?
I think there maybe are sort of other circumstances that make Liam Kelly maybe a bit of a smarter signing than that. When you look at the rules for European competitions, Liam Kelly not only counts as a homegrown Scottish player, but he counts as a sort of trained at club player, which teams really need to fill out their European squads as well. But you know, the fact that he was in the Scotland squad for the Euros, he's been a starter for Motherwell, is that not good enough for someone that looks as if he's going to be the backup option for Rangers this season, Tony?
In my opinion, he's not good enough for the Rangers team.
What did you make of that Liam Kelly signing, Simon?
But just for the reasons that you've said there, I think it probably speaks for itself. I think as Tony's talking about going back down to the Man United for somebody as backup to Butland, I couldn't see that happening. I think if they were going down there, it'd be to replace should Butland move on. But he's certainly got the jersey there. I think it's not a bad signing, to be honest, as a cover. Again, you look at the boy himself, though, he's played a lot of first-team football. Is he going to go there and be happy? Obviously, he's decided to make the move himself, but how much first-team football is he going to get?
Yeah, it is an interesting one. Do you think going there, essentially, he's maybe just accepting that he's going to be playing second fiddle?
It looks like it. I think, obviously, they'll play a lot of games, but, you know, he's established in that Motherwell team. So he's now, I don't know if it's a step back, you know, going back to being backup keeper.
Tony, what else in terms of, is there a certain area of the park that needs to be strengthened next?
The defence and midfield. Like, defensive midfielders and central defenders, we need to bring more in.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of talk about Conor Goldson and where his future lies. I think even before that, there will have been Rangers fans saying that they need to strengthen in that department. And then in midfield, with John Lundstrom leaving, with Ryan Jack leaving, does there need to be, because there was talk about Kenny McLean, it doesn't look as if that's going to happen, but there are younger options in there, but maybe not.
I think there's going to be a really new look about Rangers next season, because obviously Tavernier, Goldson, there is speculation about these guys. They've been there for a while. They've been there through three or four managers, and I don't know, maybe Clement wants to start afresh, and I think there might be a whole new look through Rangers 11 this year.
Well, thank you to Tony. Malcolm is a Celtic fan up next. What have you got for us tonight, Malcolm?
I'm a Celtic fan, and Todd Cantwell has got to stay at Rangers.
Yeah, you don't go along with Tony's assessment of Todd Cantwell then? Well, I mean, you go along with his opinion that he should stay.
No, it's just absolute smoke and mirrors. The boy's an absolute myth, but his banter on TikTok and how he upsets the Rangers fans, he's got to stay. He's just got to stay, just for banter alone.
What about your own team? How are you feeling about what Celtic are doing or trying to do in the transfer window?
Yeah, well, I'm sure it's going to behind closed doors. And I heard Kenny Miller need to get a breath yesterday and push out about 400 words in one sentence. I've got a breath about Celtic. But time will tell. Celtic's obviously doing their business in the background. I'd rather have proper signings in. I think all the media just paid the money, 7 million or whatever. It cost 4 million, lowballing.
I mean, Kenny was being paid to talk, I'll give him that. So he was certainly doing his job yesterday. But, you know, Malcolm saying pay the money, is it as easy as that? Because I think a previous caller had said about, you know, Celtic just have the money, go and spend it. But it's not really how football always works. It's not how business works. Celtic need to make sure that they're getting value for money in the player.
It's not as easy as that always, of course. But the guys had a successful period here. I think it, what I said earlier on the balls in Norwich's court means that they it's their player, and they can see, you know, how well he's done when he's come up here. So they'll try and squeeze a wee bit more money out of it. I think it will go through. I think Celtic want the boy enough, and they see the value in it, getting that deal over the line. So I think that will happen.
What type of fee do you expect the deal to maybe settle at, Malcolm, if it is going to?
Oh, I can't. A lot of speculation. Scottish media is brilliant at it, didn't they? I'm sure the club will decide. I mean, if they feel that it's 7 or 8 million, it's 7 or 8 million. If they think it's 5, it's 5. If they move on, they move on. It's just the way Celtic are. But I get the club nae overpaying, because we never overplay, but I'd rather nae spend over the odds. But if 7 million's the value, I think he's worth it. He's a young lad, and he seems to be a really good prospect. Okay?
Is that an age as well, Simon, where Celtic will be thinking that whatever fee they pay for him, that either you need to get the value for money on the park, or on top of that, you then can look to the future and think, well, he'll be an asset, and if he does well and scores goals for a couple of seasons, then maybe they could sell him on for more.
Yeah, I don't think that would be the immediate thought process. Mm-hmm. It was get the player in the door and add to the squad, you know, have competition up front there, different styles as we spoke about earlier. But certainly if he comes in and keeps scoring goals at a rate that he did in the 4 or 5 months he was here, then yeah, the price tag would go up and Celtic would maybe benefit 2 or 3 years down the line. But I think the first thought process just now is how to get this squad to a level for next season to compete in the three fronts domestically and go and make a fist of it in Europe.
Malcolm, another player that had a loan spell that Celtic may potentially look at bringing back permanently is Paulo Bernardo. Is that a deal you'd like to see done alongside the Adamida deal?
Yeah, and I've heard a lot of chat of this on this website and a lot of other websites with Bernardo. He's a young lad, 21-year-old. He's got something about him. Eh? And if you look back at Mart O'Reilly's first season with Celtic, he only played 17 games. And how Mart's turned out now with given a spell in the team, and I think that lad's got something that if you give him a spell in the team, he could prove something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do too. I agree with Malcolm there. I think Bernardo's showed enough last year, maybe didn't get as much game time as he would like. Again, it's quite a strong area, Celtic, you know, the midfielder. I know Hatate was out for a little bit this season as well, but I think Bernardo didn't let anybody down when he played. I thought he showed enough. He's popped up up at Dens Park with an important goal. Young lad finding his feet. I think, yeah, he'd be another one that I would like to see hang about.
That was the real sort of spell that he showed Celtic fans what he's capable of, because he scored away to Dundee. I think he scored against Rangers in the game after that.
That's right.
And, you know, he impressed in that spell. Maybe didn't show it consistently across the season, but there was probably a couple of factors in that he had players in front of him in the pecking order.
It
was only really his first season of full, you know, senior football, I think.
Yep, still a relatively young lad coming to a team like Celtic, finding, you know, that strong area of the pitch where you're trying to displace boys. If the strongest three would be O'Reilly, McGregor, Hatate for me, you're trying to displace these guys and take your chance when you come in. But as you said, that nice period in the season over the turn of the year, and, you know, popped up with a wee bit of positivity in the cup final as well. I'd like to see him hang about. I think there's something there.
Well, thank you very much to Malcolm. You can get your calls in on 01419511025 while I tell you about this.
Clyde One.
Win £275,000.
Yes, tomorrow you could receive a life-changing call and win £275,000. What would that get you? Maybe a sort of mid-table Premiership, Scottish Premiership striker, something like that.
I'm seeing signings going along the screen there.
English Premier League
Wolves
ones.
Wolves play at the West Ham for £40 million.
You could maybe pay an English Premier League player's wages for 1 week. Or, you know what, you could treat yourself. You could buy something very, very nice. A lot of things for that. The world is your oyster. Text YES to 61025. Text are £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter on our website as well. Online entries are £2, or call 0330 880 4523. Calls are charged at the standard rate. It's over 18s only. All the rules for this Rayo Network competition are on our our website. Lines close at 5pm this Friday when we'll make the call. There's no phrase, no amount to remember. You don't have to pick up in five rings. Just answer the phone at £275,000 will be in your bank account within an hour of the call. So for your chance to win £275,000, text yes to 61025 now.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly here with me, Andrew McLean, in the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, but still plenty of time for you to get your calls in. 0141 951 1025 for whatever is on your mind. You can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB, and make sure to listen tomorrow because we're bringing back the Pundit Predictor. We have £1,000 to be won on our Euro Pundit Predictor with Col Robert. We go again tomorrow night because it's been rolling over and it's been rolling over. There's been people guessing at three results, two results for different ones. I think it's going to be three of the quarterfinals that you're going to have to guess over the weekend, but it adds a wee bit of added interest.
It just shows how unpredictable it's been. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody's got it right. It's been a funny tournament, to be honest. I thought it started okay and then kind of drifted away a wee bit. So looking forward to the quarterfinals.
Yeah, some of the games have needed a bit of added interest in them as well. To be fair, not the Austria-Turkey game the other night.
Fantastic.
I thought that was brilliant.
I really liked Georgia-Turkey in the group stage as well. I find these teams just seem to have something, they want to go for it.
Yeah.
And it always adds to the spectacle. I think the teams that are cagey and safe, you know, it can be a long 90 minutes.
So yeah, three games. You'll need to predict the result of tomorrow night. That's with Col Robert. You could win £1,000. So we'll get back round to that tomorrow night. Are you over the Euros yet? Scotland's involvement
aye,
in it? Yeah.
Aye, yes.
Past it.
Took me a few days, but yes, disappointing. Disappointing. I think the Tartan Army were terrific. I think they're up there with the Dutch. I don't know if you've seen the Dutch.
Oh, it's brilliant, isn't
when
it?
When they go to the stadiums, that's a spectacle to see as well. I think the two sets of fans really brought something to it, but I just wish we'd brought a wee bit more on the pitch.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are thinking that. Any thoughts on that? Any thoughts on your domestic side? Give us a call, 0141 951 1025. There was a managerial appointment today in the Scottish Premiership. Not a surprise. I actually thought that it had already been made official, but it turns out that today it was made official. Don Cowie will be the Ross County manager going forward. Roy McGregor had already spoken about it openly after they stayed up, saying that he was definitely going to be in charge. But today was the official confirmation. Has he earned that?
I think so, yeah. I think getting into the playoffs, it can be a pressure cooker at times, but I thought Ross County handled it quite comfortably in the end. And much like yourself, I thought he already got the job. So just to get that announced today, yes. But another big season for them. You know, his first go at it, you know. With Dundee United back in the league, it's going to be competitive again. So, yeah, big one coming up.
Roy McGregor and Don Cowie will really be looking for them to kick on because they're a team that do pay all right wages. They spend a bit of money.
Well,
Ross
they have,
County.
They have to, don't they, to try and get players up there. You know, if you're going up there to Dingwall, you're committed, you're having to stay up there. So, yeah, they do. And, you know, I think that's 2 years in the bounce, is it not, with the playoffs?
Yeah,
so they don't really want to be involved in that again. But again, I think with Dundee United coming back into the league, I think it will be very competitive again. Bottom six, definitely.
0141 951 1025 for your calls. Stephen is up next in Coatbridge. Stephen, how are you feeling tonight?
All right, Arnold, how are you doing?
All good.
A quick point on Celtic being linked with Adam Eder. I think Adam is now a free agent. I think he would do a good wee job at Celtic for a good couple of seasons as well, just as a backup striker to Kyogo.
I think part of the issue with Shea Adams is maybe the other clubs that are in for him. I've seen Nottingham Forest linked with him. I've seen Wolves linked with him as well. The money that they are able to offer is,
I think, it goes
worlds away from what Scottish football can offer, isn't it?
It goes back to the first caller with Jamie Vardy, English Premiership. It's the salaries. It is the salaries. And I know, listen, Celtic, out the Champions League and everything that comes with it, but we just have to look at that transfer from Wolves to West Ham. 40 million, that is ridiculous. And if there's interest down there and the salaries that they can pay, you know, I'd be surprised if somebody like Che Adams came to Scotland.
Yeah, with his contract running out as well, I think that also doesn't help because clubs not having to pay a transfer fee then makes them more willing to spend more on wages. And when clubs do have money. The likes of, you know, Wolves are one of the more interested parties in him, along with Nottingham Forest. With Wolves having just got £40 million in for Max Kilman,
I know
they've got money to spend.
I know it's hard to compete with. It really is, and I get everything because obviously I played at Celtic. I know how great a club it is, but these guys will probably they'll not get their head turned because of the finance they can achieve in a contract down there. Probably.
Do you feel it is still realistic, Stephen?
No, not anymore. Actually, if you can go to
the league. On Adamida, are you looking for Shea Adams because Adamida you don't feel is the right fit for Celtic?
I think he would do good for Celtic, but I just think Shea Adams, he's a free agent. Don't really need to spend that £5-6 million on Adamida and use it for another player if we needed to.
Yeah, I suppose there's just a general interest really on how much money Celtic are going to spend this season. People mm-hmm. always talk about, you know, whether Celtic managers are going to be backed, which they are every season. Celtic do spend money in every transfer window. It's normally sort of smaller fees that accumulate and get up to, you know, 20 odd million that's spent on players. But it's whether Celtic go out and spend big and spend those fees of, you know, that sort of 7 million-ish that Celtic seem to be maxing out on in the past few years on a few players rather than just one marquee and then a few smaller signings.
Yeah, I think they might venture into that this year. I've just got a feeling, you know, either they might have to go to that sort of region to get somebody like him. Just on Brendan Rodgers' comments at the turn of the year with the transfer window about bringing in quality, you probably need to spend round about that to get something in. But it's all relative. I mean, as I say, we're looking at, I keep going back to that one there with £40 million for a lad from Wolves to West Ham. It's hard to compete on those levels. But certainly, I think Celtic will be looking to bring guys in that will put pressure on the starting 11. I mean, that just helps everybody. If you've got, rather than like a project player, bring somebody in who's going to threaten to get into that 11 straight away.
Then money doesn't obviously always guarantee quality as well. You see players come in for big fees that don't do so well. You see players that come in for small fees. We talked about Matt O'Reilly.
Matt O'Reilly's a classic example. You know, and I was ignorant to, I didn't know who Matt O'Reilly was before he came to Celtic, £1.5 million, but he's been a quality player there. So, yeah, there's ones out there that you know you have. That's what their recruitment is there. That's their job, to go and try and find these, this quality. But I certainly think, you know, they want to bring in some that will, well, we might be talking about replacing Matt, but certainly put pressure on the 11, and that just brings the whole levels up.
Stephen, that money you were looking to save on Adamida, is there a specific area that you feel that money needs to be spent in?
A left back, Greg Taylor, just needs a bit of competition. Bernabe is obviously not up to it.
Yeah, was that a surprise when Bernabe was allowed to go and there wasn't really another backup that was brought in Greg Taylor? I know Liam Scales can push over there if needed, but is that an area you think Brendan Rodgers will be highlighting this summer?
I think the centre-back and the left-back for cover or competition, yeah, I definitely do. It goes without saying the keeper, a striker, a midfielder. You know, I think there'll be a few come in. I think there will be. And that might mean that one or two move on as well. Got a lot of wide players there. And, you know, you look towards your most experienced guy, James Forrest, being the man towards the end of the season. There's a lot of guys there who, at different times, Lewis Palmer, I thought, had a decent start to the season. He was talking in the press yesterday about it being a big season. I think it's a big season for a few of the wide ones. I know there's one or two that are young there. But you still have to go and try and take your chance when it comes along.
Rodgers did talk about it maybe being sort of quality over quantity, but you still would expect there to be quite a few in the door,
so.
Yeah.
I think so. I've rhymed off four or five positions there. I think there will be three, four, five players come in. Yep, definitely.
Stephen, what do you think? Oh, I think he's gone. I think we've lost him. Oh, well, I think we are close to the end of the show anyway. I was going to as well run a thing on Twitter as well for the 4th of July to see who everyone's favourite American player that had played in Scottish football was, but I think there may well have been quite a lot of shouts for Cameron Carter-Vickers on one side, and then on the other side, Morris Edu for a particular goal that he scored as well. Any that stick to mind for you?
Only one, but he's Rangers, Reina.
Claudio Reina, he got a ridiculous number of caps, I'm sure, for the USA as well.
He wasn't bad.
Didn't he? Yeah, a few played that more recently as well, like Christian Ramirez at Aberdeen. Malik Tillman was on loan at at Rangers as well. But there we go. That is all for tonight. I'll be back again tomorrow night, so make sure to tune in. Make sure to get your calls and your tweets in for then. Thank you to Simon Donnelly in the studio. As I say, I'll be back from 6 o'clock tomorrow night. Hugh Keevans will be in the studio. We'll be doing the Pundit Predictor, so you'll get to pit your wits against Hugh Keevans as well. So you'll at least get an easy win.
Try
over,
and win that yeah,
you'll
pounds.
At least get an easy win over Hugh Keevans, and on top of that, you could win £1,000. So that could be very, very good. Stay right there, because it is Lynn Hogan who is up next.